Today's passages are taken from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 6, 15 to 19, and 21 to 22. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. To verses 15 to 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Verses 21 to 22. When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Everybody awake? Everybody excited to be here today? I hope you are. I was touched this morning by the songs of worship, especially about our relationship with the Lord, about our love, His love to us. It's not our love, it's His love to us that we need to focus on. And yes, I was touched also. Can God do something out of people like us? Could a garden come out of something like me? A garden? Wow. You make everything new. So we sang these beautiful songs, and last weekend I had something unexpected. I had a special trip to Alberta because the final graduation of my brother-in-law to heaven happened about 2 weeks ago. My sister was married to him for 60 years this year, and she lost him through cancer. And they gave him 2 months to live, but he lived 6 months. And it was a wonderful experience to be there with. He lived in the same house, in the same farm for 60 years. And so a lot of people if you're in a rural area, Pinoca farming area, people all knew him. And what a wonderful thing it was to see that he truly is new now, totally in God's presence, but to the preparation and the joy that he had to share his faith with his family and pray that every one of his family would become followers of Jesus. 6 children, 20 grandchildren, 10 great-grandchildren. So it was a joy I grew up in that area. I hadn't met people for some 20, 30 years, some people I hadn't seen for a long time. They actually wanted to get to meet me to see if I still had my same laugh that I had 30 years ago. It's true. Even met people from Prairie and so on there. It was just wonderful. And to also meet my own 2 children that live there with some of our grandchildren. So that was my experience last weekend. We drove that way to Alberta, 2 days going, 2 days coming. And here we are today in Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church. And my message to you today is what's next? What's next? From failure to fulfillment. We read the verses from John 21. If you have your Bible, you can follow along as we share this morning. God, open my heart, open our hearts, that we might not just be challenged, but we might be changed. And help us, Lord, to listen to your voice and to be able to follow you, do what you want us to do. Prepare to change us, Lord. Change me. Lord, it's pretty tough for the stubborn Dutch Canadian that's 80 years old to go through any more changes. Hard to teach an old dog new tricks. But Lord, you can still change us because of your spirit within us. And Lord, so help us not just to go through the motions of another service, but really see what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What's next? I heard that somebody got married here yesterday. Had a great wedding. So what's next for this family? What's next for this couple? What's next when, the question, have you thought about what's next? Because May and June talks about graduations, high school, university students, and when they get to that final year, then the big question is in their hearts, what's next? What am I going to do next? What kind of job? What kind of place? What's next? Have you ever thought about that? That's my topic, from failure to fulfillment. What's next after the end of a particular job or assignment? What's next after retirement? What's next after a loss, a failure, or a divorce? Some years ago, I was asked to start a church in Vernon. That lasted about 2 years, and it was a failure. I felt it was a failure. The denomination felt it was a failure. What's next? What's next? So John finishes his book. If you read the book of John, you'll find out that it's the story of Jesus. It's the story of his death. We sang about it, and his resurrection. And so then John comes to the end of that story and says, I'm ending my book with verse 31 of John 20. I'm finishing the book. And he ends these words, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So what is next for John is finishing his book. I end my book with praying that you would believe and you might have life in his name. That's the purpose of this book of John. But great, that's the end of John 20. But that's not the end. It's only the beginning. And so many Christians stop there. And so what do you have? I have a book here written by Chastain and Bruce Littlejohn. And at the end of the book, it's a beautiful book. I got a few copies. I met her in Calgary last Sunday. She's a widow now. Her lost her husband in the a couple of years ago. But Around the World and Back to God by Bruce Littlejohn. He had to go to Iran, around the world trip, to find Jesus. And he's from Canada. Couldn't find God in Canada, but he found God in Iran. And that was 1968. And in 1968, I was in Belgium, and we ran a mechanics base to fix trucks that would go into the Middle East and behind the Iron Curtain. We would fix these trucks, and we were praying for a diesel mechanic. And a diesel mechanic got converted in Iran and came onto my team, and his name was Bruce Littlejohn, 1968. And he had gone to India. He had vowed he would never go back to India. He was a non-Christian wandering around the world. But God sent him back to India, and that's where he met his wife, and he got married, just like I did in India 2 years after I got married. And when he got back, came to finally back to Canada, he mentions me in this book, by the way, He got his marriage pictures in the book, got married by the same man that we got married. He thought it was a good idea to get married in India. It's cheap. They had no money. So they, you know, so that's his story in here. But then he said, you know, God opened the door in Calgary to work with international students. Wow. And he influenced me to work with international students. And in the last couple of years, he got blind, and he had another disease that he had, but he still would walk to the university every day as a blind person, looking for students to share the gospel. His wedding was in an Alliance church in Calgary, packed out, even with professors and students that were there to express how much he had meant to them. And so it's a really touching book. And you can have a copy if you give a donation. And I'd love to have you read it. But what's at the end of the book? It's an epilogue. It's an epilogue. And so that's what John has in John 21. It's an epilogue. What's epilogue? What's epilogue? Well, it's kind of like the story ends, but what comes next? What comes next? It gives us a clue. John wants us to believe, and believing we have new life. But how is this going to affect my life? The disciples had just deserted Christ when he got arrested. It says all of them had left Christ there. They were afraid. They were full of fear. What do I expect next? How will my life change? Where will I go? What will I do? If Jesus was arrested, will I also be arrested? Will I also be killed like Jesus? What's going to happen to me? And brothers and sisters, we're on an exciting journey from our new position to our new practice. And our journey will involve struggles and setbacks and even failures. And because we are in a spiritual warfare, and God knows you, knows your desires, and knows your weakness. We sang a verse about God knows our weakness, God knows our failures. And I had failed in Vernon. And I had failed another time in Kamloops working with the street people. I lost my job. I did something I shouldn't have done. And I was failed. And that was the year 2000. And what's next? It was a year of praying and waiting on God and finding out what does God want me to do? How can I, is there hope for me? A failure. Is there hope? And that's when God opened the door to international students at the end of that year. And up to this day, we have contact with international students. And I brought one of them here with me today, who's going to share in a few minutes, a former student. And so so this tiny group of fishermen and uneducated, fearful followers of Jesus, would they be wiped out by the enemy, by the opposition? Or will they survive and thrive and become overcomers? And so this chapter gives us the clue of what's next. What's next? And the thing I want to share, the first lesson from that passage is living with lesson one. Learn these lessons from the chapter. It'll change your life. It's important lessons because what happens here is going to affect these people. And what's going to happen to the group of people who call themselves followers of Jesus? Living without Jesus results in no fruit. Lesson number one in this passage. Why go fishing? Why did it? Peter was always, well, they were fishermen. They were fishermen. So it was the natural thing to do, especially when you're hungry and maybe you got lack of money, you need something for your family. And they were waiting for Jesus, but he was nowhere to be seen. They were waiting. Probably they got bored. Something to do. Disciples without Jesus is like fishermen without fish. That's what happened that night. Nothing. Remember, they were experienced fishermen. There's nothing here saying it was wrong for them to go fishing. But Jesus did sit. Called to them from the shore, and he said, how is it going? How's it going? He's asking you this morning, how's it going? How's it going with you and your life? How's it going with me, my wife and I? Well, we spent a lot of time going to medical checkups. She had cancer a couple of years ago. She's got an eye problem. She did keep me awake, going to Alberta and back. That's why I'm still here. Yeah, so that's good. We're getting slower. Although I took 4 Indian students this week biking on a 25-kilometer Pokal Trail that we have right beside us. And after a few kilometers, they were saying, how far is this? How far is this? And they were not wondering, they're wondering if they could actually make it. And we did make it. So how's it going? The most difficult journey is going back to the place where you failed. And of course, they had 3 years earlier, they had gone fishing in Luke chapter 5, and they also went all night fishing and did catch nothing. And that's where they became followers of Jesus, because Jesus had a higher calling. But without the big problem is that without Jesus carrying the burdens of the what happened at the resurrection, guilt, feelings of failure, their master, they had an enemy that were probably wanting to wipe them out. What's going to happen to them? They're probably wondering. And so that's the first lesson is we need to know that without Jesus, there is no fruit. There is no fruit. And he reminds them in John 15 that we must remain in the vine, and neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. The first lesson, if we're not connected to Jesus, there will be failure. There will be, then nothing will happen. You can even be active in the activities of the church, but there's no true fulfillment. It's good to fail. I think it's good to fail. I taught a lot of students. They wanted to learn how to drive and get their driver's license. They're from India, from Asia. And they thought they were, some of them even thought from India they were good drivers till they got to the test and they failed 3 or 4 times. And they're from India. They drove in India. Yes, I drove in India too. But then I learned to drive like an Indian. And that's not exactly like a Canadian. Well, you know, they failed, and they asked me, they would go in my vehicle, and they said, next week we're going to get my test. I said, great. They said, well, what's your hope? They said, we hope we will pass. I said, no, 50% of people going for the test will fail. That might be good. What? No, it's not good. Of course it's not good, because it costs money, and, you know, I failed. No, I said, that could be the best thing, because it will help you to be a better driver. Help you to be a better driver. Failure can be the great stepping stone to success. And so here they were fishing all night and they caught nothing. Jesus must always remind us, how many times do I need to remind myself that without Jesus, I can do nothing? Even this morning as I came here, even as we went to Alberta last week, without Jesus, nothing will happen. So what's the second lesson we need to learn? The second lesson is listening and obeying Jesus will result in lots of fish. You want fruit? You want fulfillment in your life? Then we must be listening to him and be connected to him, because the very same passages in John 15 tells us, if we abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it'll be done for you. And he says, Jesus said, I didn't choose you, but you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so you would bear fruit that will last. Whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give you. And so that year of asking God to open up doors and ask God what his vision was, I don't want another failure. God opened the door for international students. Until this day, even yesterday, I picked up an international student called Mickey from Japan. And when I worked in this church in a few years ago, 8-9 years ago, as part of your staff here, and part of my job was I was working with international students, and one girl said to me, Bert, if I come to the Alpha program at Vancouver Chinese Alliance, I'm going to bring 10 people. Yeah, so I first told Norm that we were bringing 2 or 3 internationals, but suddenly she shows up with 10. 10 people, a non-Christian Japanese girl. Well, some of those gatherings at Alpha at that time, we had 20, 30 internationals, Most of them had never been to church before, never had a Bible before. And Mickey was one of them. You know, she arrived here yesterday again for a visit from Japan. She's met me in Japan in February. Yesterday, I picked her up at the airport. She's here only for a week. She says hello to her friends in Vancouver Chinese Alliance. But she's not here today because Whistler attracted her with 50 people from Broadway that go to the international club there, and they're there for 2 days, and that she wanted to connect with them as well. So that's where she is this weekend. But if you want to see her, you know a girl called Mickey, tall, thin Japanese girl. She still has that connection to Canada and to the seeds that were sown in her life, although she's still not a follower of Jesus. But she was so thankful that I was willing to go early in the morning, Saturday morning, wait around at the airport and pick her up. So listening to Jesus and obeying Jesus will result in lots of fish. I got this little picture of turkey here, and then I'm going to introduce to you my guest this morning about how God works. When I first went with Operation Mobilization in 1966, a young man of 21 years old, I had lots of fears about going out and had no money and didn't know what was going to happen to me when I went on this first missions trip in 19. By the way, that's 60 years ago this year, next month, when I went on my first missions trip. 60 years of ministry by the grace of God. And I see your church got 60 years on the top of their bulletin as well. So 60 years, it's God's grace alone. So here's the same, that's another young man from USA called Gordon Magni. He decided to go to Turkey because he heard that Turkey was one of the toughest countries to go to for the summer. And this is his story. The Turkish jailer told me to relax since I would be under his care for at least 5 years. I couldn't imagine anything worse in 1966 than spending the next 5 years in a little Turkish prison. My fiance, Grace, was in Tehran, and I wasn't sure she would wait for 5 years for me. Obviously, our plan to avoid arrest while sharing the gospel in eastern Turkey had failed. My main concern that Christmas was how to get out of jail. Why did God allow this to happen? Our cell was in the prison basement, but once a day we were allowed out for exercise and fresh air. We'd sing Turkey songs. I'd play my trumpet, and one brother would even get some preaching in before the jailer hustled us back to our cell. Our only audience were the children gathered on the surrounding rooftops. 20 years later, now we're talking about 1986, he says, I met a Turk from that same village. He told me he had become a believer. How did that happen, I asked. When we were children, he said, there were some men in prison, and we would listen to them from the rooftops singing songs and talking about Jesus. There are 20 of us now who are believers as a result of those brief open-air meetings. Wow. He didn't even know till 20 years later what the result of that, of those children that were listening on the rooftops. You never know what can happen. As for 25 years, we've planted the seed for international students who, some of them have gone back to their countries, baptized and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Mark will come on up here. We have, and he's going to help me in the Cantonese service because he speaks Cantonese better than I do. He's Marco Ma, and we had dinner at his home last night. We've met a few years ago, I think, when you were an international student. Tell us about that and what's happened since.
Okay, yes. Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Marco, and I came here in 2011, and I started to join Focus Club ISMC in 2012. Back then I was 19, 20, and now I am 34, so it's been a long time since I was an international student. Later on I was more involved in Focus Club, and Focus Club is a club for international students. It's a ministry for international students where they are able to form friendships, they are also able to be part of it, you know, and myself had the very good opportunity to be one of the leaders there, to be a student leader, a worship team leader, and really, really blessed me so much because I witnessed a lot of God's work there. That's how I was involved practically, but I also want to share my personal story. Why I was involved, like why did I go there? And whenever I think about what happened there, it always go back to an image of me, just isolated in my own room in the basement when I first came as an international student. I would say that time was quite depressing, very dark, very down. And I think I remember there are a few times that I would cry alone in my room, and remember how lonely, how lost I was, how directionless as well, because you thought that you came in here, everything is going to be great, but then you don't feel the way that you expected. And I didn't become a Christian here. I became a Christian when I was Hong Kong, when I was 13. So you can imagine how many years I spent there. And also I had a lot of friends, and our school was actually a Christian school as well. So there is a big community. I was surrounded by people. I was like supported by so many people. But once I moved to here and study, I lost all the connections. I lost all the friendships, and I'm by myself in a room. It's not that I don't have any friends, but it's not the same depth of friendship that you will get, right, when you're here. So yeah, very lost, very lonely. And I just want to quote one of the Psalm, which is Psalm 13. It said, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever?" I feel like God wasn't there, wasn't in Canada. Sorry. "And how long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" Yeah, that was me. Sorry, I get too emotional. That was me wrestling with loneliness, doubt, and spiritual dryness. To me, it's like I'm coming from a very abundant, fertile land to a spiritual desert. That's how I felt during that time. And I would say that's the time I also experience a lot of temptations as well. In in Exodus 32, when Moses was gone for a long time, what did the Israelites did when they feel abandoned and spiritually empty is they turn to the golden calf. To me, that time, my golden calf was just the general worldly agenda. How do I succeed? How do I perform well? How do I prove to my parents who support me here to study that I'm great? That is worth the money, worth the time that I'm here. So my agenda, my purpose was slowly shifting to that direction instead of what God wanted me to do. So spiritually, I was very lost. And we know that whenever we're lost, we're lonely, that's the time that we feel more attacked in spiritually. And well, in 1 Peter 5:8, it warns us, "Be alert and sober of mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And we know that lion doesn't attack a herd, they attack people who are isolated, and that's who, like where I was, how I felt during that time. And I'm so glad that later on I was able to join Focus Club. I'm not saying that Focus Club is the savior. Of course, Jesus is the savior, but Jesus himself has manifested himself, you know, through the people in Focus Club, because there's where I found family. I found the warmth again, the connection again, the oasis again in, you know, spiritually. And there's where I able to continue to witness what God has been doing, and is very always very exciting to meet Bert because he has so many stories to tell, and then it's great to witness the work of God, and of course there are a lot of characters of God being shown by the leaders there. So I'm very grateful that
you just mentioned some of the benefits.
Yeah,
tell us a couple more benefits in closing, and how God is with you today.
Okay, I will try to end it in 1 minute. Okay. Yeah. So, I would say generally international students like struggle with a lot more mental health situations, right? And I did a little bit of research. I recently find that I think there's an increase of like mental health like crisis in the international students demographic. It's like about 31% of the people would struggle with some severe mental health conditions, including like suicidal, you know, inclination. I would say, you know, SMC Focus Club is so important because, as I said, if we're isolated and alone, that's the time that we feel attacked. I was a Christian already, right? And I was attacked. I felt very attacked. I felt very tempted in so many ways, right? And I couldn't imagine people who did not have the faith. What was their anchor? What would be their anchor? Of course, substances, relationships, money, all those things, all those vain glory, we call them, right? And so Focus Club is important because they become a lighthouse for those students who are lost, right? And the hope through Jesus for those who feel overwhelmed in their life, and a community where people can feel belong. And of course, we have great leaders there as well. So we got good mentors and good directions for students. And of course, they got the seat of faith where they can share the gospel later to their families when they bring it home, like what Bert has just shared with us.
Yeah. And you're more than single now. You found someone there too, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I found my wife over there as well. So God has like provided me, in so many ways.
And where is she from?
She's from Inner Mongolia.
And was she a Christian when you?
She wasn't a Christian. So I was honored to also witness her her conversion as well. Right, she's witnessing Christ there in Focus Club. So to see her not being a Christian, and then I actually was there when she decided to follow Jesus and had that prayer. So it's amazing to saw her not Christian become a Christian, and of course she also encountered a lot of difficulties in her in her spiritual journey, and saw her mature and now being with her and able to walk on this journey with her together.
And you have and you have a child.
I have a child, Avery, so 5-year-old.
And you have a degree in counseling?
Yes, I do.
And
yeah.
So he's a counselor and deals with families now and helps other people. And your wife is on her second master's degree?
Second PhD.
PhD.
Yeah, for clinical psych.
Let's thank him for sharing. Yes, thank you, Malcolm.
Thank you for having me here.
You can talk to him after the service. Thank you, Marco. With that, last night we had dinner in their home, and they live in Port Moody. And this is a journey of one person, of the impact that what happens when we listen and obey Jesus will result in lots of fruit. I have three more lessons to learn. We all have three more lessons from this chapter. So we will. The next lesson is just before we get to that lesson, just at Easter. Here's a young man from Bangladesh, Muslim country. And I had the joy of baptizing him. And he was a graduate of Douglas College a year earlier. And he showed up in Douglas College Focus Club simply because he wanted some free food and some friends. And today he's a member of God's family and part of the Indian church where I minister as well. I didn't realize that the seeds had been planted, But he, while I was on my journey, on my missions trip, he went to the pastor of the Indian church and said, I am now ready to become a follower of Jesus. And he drops in our place anytime he wants, without my surprise. And he actually even comes to my place when he knows I'm going on a journey to Alberta or to Laos or Thailand. He's there to wish me goodbye and really concerned about how we are doing. Well, this is just one of the benefits. Lesson number three, what happened? God uses us to catch the fish, but we're not to brag about it. We're not to brag about it. So they got the fish. They wanted to have fish, but they had to listen to Jesus. And so here they just simply listened to what he said. And look, but Peter didn't say, look at all the fish I caught. Look at all the fish. So many people in North America, Christian evangelists and pastors, they brag about all the things they do for God. Oh, I built this church. I started this church. So many hundreds of people. And Billy Graham was told one day by someone, when you get to heaven, God's going to reward you have so many rewards because you brought millions of people to Jesus. And he stopped that person and said, listen, you're wrong. There's people who pray for me that nobody knows. They are going to be more rewarded in heaven than I will be because they're the secret to my ministry. The people that pray, the people that support Billy Graham. And so he gave honor, not to himself, but to others as being part of the ministry. So we must remember that I brought Tajit, this guy from Bangladesh, so excited that I could be involved with him in his baptism. But I introduced him to the lady upstairs she's 84, older than me, and she was involved in that club and she knew him. So I said, Tajit, I just want you to tell Lois. And so Lois came down, this 84-year-old lady, and I said, tell her what happened. And he told her. He says, oh, no surprise to me. I've been praying for you every single day. I've been praying for you every single day. Wow. So lesson number four, God is the great provider. You didn't have to fish all night. Jesus had breakfast waiting. The best breakfast with Jesus. There it is on the charcoals. Fish. And it was already waiting for them. God's a great provider. After listening and obeying Christ, what happens? God provides. 60 years he has provided for my wife and I as we have served him and sought to serve him. He's the great provider. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God has provided for us. God opened a new door in Kamloops in the year 2000. Another door in Vancouver in the year 2010, 16 years ago. We didn't plan to come to Vancouver. I talked to a Chinese doctor one day in Vancouver at Missions Fest, and he said, when are you coming to Vancouver? I said, well, I trained someone to take my place in Kamloops. I guess I can come now, but I'm waiting. He said, waiting for what? I'm waiting for the right house at the right price. He says, I think I know what you mean. He has 7 properties, and eventually we got one of those houses, bungalow house for $350 a month in Vancouver. $350? I said, for what? A week or a day? No, he says, for a month. That's just to pay the taxes. You can have it. That's why we came to Vancouver, because we couldn't afford it. But God opened the door. God opened the door. He's the great provider. And here, last time I was with you, I told you about Seon Chan, how God provided for him to start as a refugee from Canada, listening to God, going back to his own people, preaching for 35 years, starting close to 600 churches in Laos and seeing over 80,000 people come to Jesus. What a joy for the two of us and myself to go and see that ministry, how God provided for them. They're going through persecution and suffering. Gasoline, are you complaining about price in Vancouver? Go to Laos. It's $7 a liter. $7 a liter. And many places not even available. So we think we have a tough thing about those in countries like that. And Wang Mengdao, who suffered for Christ in China for over 23 years during the Cultural Revolution in the days of Mao. And when he came out of that suffering, separated from his wife, they said, did God make a mistake? God make a mistake? It was no mistake. It was a honeymoon with Jesus. He said, and then he sang this, that song in perfect English, "All the way my Savior led me, what have I to ask beside?" So what's next? Well, it could be a new job, a wife, a new country. God to provide as God leads us. Food for international students. Yes, God still provides. And he is providing. And the last lesson, and I close with that lesson, is passing the test. Now we come to the final test. No students like tests, but Jesus is going to test Peter. Because he's the guy with the big mouth. He's the guy that has the first response. Now he's quiet because Jesus said, we're going for a little walk. I have a few questions, just three questions. The same question. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. Three times. Jesus is examining us. He knows Peter better than Peter knows himself. And he knows how Peter fell. When Peter took his eyes off Jesus, when Jesus told him to walk toward him on the water, he walked on that water till he looked at the waves and he began to sink. And when we look at the waves and the circumstances and the difficulties and the challenges and the tariffs and the taxes and the government and whatever you're looking at, maybe Trump, who changes his mind every 5 minutes. When you look at all these things and you just worry, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to my job? What's going to happen to my investments? Passing the test for true and lasting service. What? Put yourself in Peter's shoes. He is terribly guilty. He is telling me guilty. He is depressed. He's wondering if God can even use him again. Jesus said, let's go for a little talk. Let's go for a little talk. If Peter was full of himself, he would say, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. That's what he was saying before the cross. Even if everyone else falls away, I will not. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he fell the worst. And so Peter needed to have a special word with Jesus. Do you love me more than these? And you know, the word love in Greek is more than, we say love for everything. I love you with all my heart. I love God. Or I love my dog. I love Chinese food. We say love for everything, but in the Greek, they have different words for love. The highest word for love is agape. That's the word that Jesus used twice. Do you love me? Agape, which means complete, full, sacrificial. The love that I had when I hung on that cross for you. That's how much I love you. That's I gave my life for you. We sang about it this morning. That's Jesus' love. Agape love. God so loved the world. That's God's love. God's love. What did Peter say? Allah, I love you, Lord, but my love for you is different. It's philalio, or whatever you say in Greek. It means brotherly love. I can't use that word. I can't use that word. I'm just using the other words. I love you. And then Peter, but the third time Jesus came down to Peter's level and says, you love me, philalio, friendship, love, brotherly love. He said, yeah, that's my level of love. That's my level of love. Yes, I don't love you the way that you love me. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And so what's Jesus doing? He's saying some of these things to Peter. Your love, what you do for me, what your love for me is not what I want. It's my love for you that I want you to think about. My love for you, and I still accept you with all your failures, with all your mistakes, with all your struggles. Brother Marco was telling me some of his struggles and failures. I'm not going to mention them publicly. I had my own failures many times. Do we not all fail? Jesus, at one point or another, have we not all failed this week to be fully what Jesus wants us to be? We leave Jesus out of our plans, our decisions. We go ahead without him. How many times we rely on our own human reasoning and we rely on ourselves. We want my way, my recognition. I will do this if it benefits me. I will go to the mission field if I don't have to sacrifice too much. And, you know, we say these things many times, even going to recruiting young people today for missions. First question is it safe? Is it safe if I go? Did Jesus ask that question to the Father? You're sending me to this world, this pagan world, to Bethlehem, to be born as a baby? Maybe I should ask you, is it safe? Did Jesus ask his Father that? He didn't. He went because of his love for us. So Jesus, who knows and sees Peter in all his failure, he knows Peter's feelings and the struggles Peter must be going through. He says to Peter, the way forward, if you're going to serve me, if you follow me, you're going to be willing to give up your own way and focus on me and my love for you. This is love. This is love. Not my love for you, 1 John says, but not your love for me, but my love for you. And so that keeps me going. So regardless of our sins and failures and past, Jesus knows all about us and loves us still. He loved Peter, but it was not based on Peter's love and nor our love for Jesus. He comes to our level. This is what the last part of 1 John 21 is all about. Can you relate to Peter? Where are you at your love for God? With your struggles and weaknesses, are you aiming to focus on his love for you and the price he paid for you? How we close this morning with your struggles and weaknesses. Aim to focus on his love for you. Two simple words that twice it's mentioned here. You must follow me. You must follow me. Where? In the lonely paths, in the struggles, in the failures, in the hard places. You'll always have purpose. You'll never lack joy. But it'll cost you. It'll cost you to lose your life. A call to die, a call to live. Will you answer that call? And when Mickey said she was coming to Vancouver for a week, yes, I said, I'm going to be the, if I can pick her up and show her God's love again and help her for her next step toward Jesus, I will do it. And she's coming to our place on Tuesday this week for lunch. And I'm so glad that I can still, at my age, try to ask God every day, use me as your vessel. Use me so I can follow you. Well, a lot of what I follow Jesus now is in the coffee shop. I pray every day, Lord, guide me to someone. This morning, somebody is coming to my church in Coquitlam for the first time because I met them handing out tracts at the Coquitlam Mall 2 weeks ago. They phoned me 2 weeks later and said, can we come to church today? I'm here this morning, but I pray that they'll be there. Because God, who can put the value on one soul for Christ? So brothers and sisters, this is the message of John 21. Follow me. There is a beautiful song it's an old song, and it says, follow me. I traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed down me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Jesus, lift your cross. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I sacrifice a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune. It's worth a lot to thee. I'm worth a lot to thee. And then I heard him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory. I counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey with your hands safe in mind. So lift up your cross close and follow close to me. Lord, we thank you for this time together to look at a few thoughts from John chapter 21, the epilogue, where Peter needed to be restored, needed to be encouraged, needed to be told that he didn't have to look at his failures anymore, that you came to forgive him and love him just as he was, but not for him to stay there, but to realize that you were going to use him in a mighty way. And so he left. He was told not even to look at other people. What's going to happen to him? Jesus said, you must follow me. And one day, that day came when Peter was going to be crucified. And he said to them, I'm not worthy to die the same way that Jesus did. I want to die upside down. And so thank you, Lord, for that example of Peter, where he failed so terribly, but you restored him, you blessed him, you encouraged him to keep his eyes on you, not on the things around us. Bless this church as they celebrate 60 years And Lord, as we continue to serve you, whatever the cost, wherever you want to lead us, we want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.